Hello, and thank you for joining us for a few inspirational moments and loving conversation with C. Melita Webb. Today, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, you know, what it is that I'm seeing and what I'm trying to figure out, because I'm seeing a lot of unusual behaviors by people that appear to be fine. You know, I'm seeing things that are really concerning. I saw a statistic today about how much crime has grown. And, you know, my first thought is, you know, a lot of people are hurting and, you know, they're suffering and they're in need. And, you know, it's overwhelming to know what people are going through. And as I picked up my iPad, you know, first I was just thankful that, you know, I had another good voice day, and the weather changed, and that usually takes me a little bit of time to get my system acclimated. And so I wanted to make sure I use some of the time to talk with you today. And, you know, I'm thinking that other people must be feeling the way I'm feeling, because people are being hurt. And I understand that people are suffering. And I believe that the answers are clear. We just need to make them known. We need to let people know that there are options out there, that there are chances out there for them to find their footing again, and that they can be happy. My thought is that people are desperate and they don't know what is going to happen next. And my hope is that if enough voices come out, show support, and you know, put organization into our communities, that we'll see the level of crime go down. And I just looked at someone's face who is one of the latest victims, and you know, my heart is very it's very sad for him and his family, and it's sad for everyone. Because I think that when one person is hurt, everyone is hurt, you know, whether you know the person or not. And I think this kind of crime that we're seeing is actually causing a lot of flashbacks for people, and which makes their reactions even more severe. And I was thinking, you know, of one of my husband's cousins who had been impacted by some crime years ago. And so, yeah, it was just kind of an emotional moment for me, because I was left thinking about this officer's wife. About his children and his community, the people who loved him, his parents, you know. I don't know if he was an uncle or uncle or, you know, a brother. You know, I don't know what his family dynamics were, but he's a child of God. And sometimes I think that the things that people talk about kind of compound the separation that people feel, you know. For someone to target someone for no reason, they don't know the person, they just see the uniform they're in, is hard to comprehend. And I think that a lot of times people, you know, say, well, this person has a mental health issue, they have mental problems. And my thought is that we need to identify them, get them help, and enact laws so that they can actually truly get help. I was reading a book today, earlier, listening to a book, and it shed some light for me on just different things that I have been thinking about, and I took a lot of notes and a lot of mental notes, and I sat with it and learned some skills that I'm going to be utilizing for myself, because I think that anyone who is dealing with what we're dealing with would have, you know, traces of anxiety, might have types of depression. And, if you look at that and you think about the fact that people are lost, they don't know, where to turn. A lot of people are just holding on by a strand. And so, it's even more important than usual for us to include people, reach out to people. I always think about the person who commits the act, as well, because my thought is somewhere along the line, they felt failed by society. They felt hurt, and I don't absolve anyone from their crime. I think that when you commit a crime, you must pay, in whatever the restitution is by the law of the land. But I think that if we can catch these individuals at younger ages, and if we can build a sense of community where people often feel that they are outcast, that people will understand that when they hurt someone, that they're hurting themselves as well. None of us are alone. We're not on an island somewhere by ourselves. So that when something happens, everyone is touched. Whether you know the person or not, if you know of the occurrence, you can't help but feel. And my first thought was I would love to know who his family is and to reach out, and just offer my condolences. But I don't know those people. But I know that those people are part of our community, our nation. And they deserve our respect and our honor. And so, I think that if we start reaching out and we start making sure we're checking on each other, we're checking on the next generation, maybe you have great nieces or great nephews, or you have grandchildren, or you have aunts or uncles, whoever you think you have lost touch with, reach out and, let them know you're thinking of them. Let them know that you are loved. Find out if they need help. Find out if they, make sure they have a place to stay, make sure they know that if something happens, they don't have food, that you will feed them. We just need to lift each other up and remind each other that we are all in this together. We are all human. And there was an article that I Googled yesterday because I forgot which book I was reading yesterday. It might have been I wish I could remember the book. I'll have to figure that out and then put it into the show notes. I sometimes go through a couple of books a day, and so sometimes I forget the actual name, but I remember what it is that I've listened to. And in this book, it really talked about a study that came out, I want to say 2006, 2007, that showed that all humans were basically 99% the same. And, a lot of times people are told, they're told that certain people aren't human, or they're not good people, or they're not true, quote-unquote, people. But what they did was the scientists took all of these different samples, and when they looked, they could not differentiate between who was black, who was white, who was Asian, who was Hispanic, and the majority of the DNA. It was like 1% or less than 1% of where, there was some difference. And so, you know, as you look at that and you think about that and you look at the fact that science has proven time and time again that, you know, all life came from one location in Africa, which means everyone at some point has African DNA in them. And, you know, their skin may not show it right now. And, you know, the other thing is that it used to be a color situation for colorism. But now I think it's deeper than that because people are hurting people who look like them and people who don't look like them, right? And so, you know, whether we get past the false notion of what race really is, which to me is just a construct, it's not even a true condition. It's just, you know, what man has defined by man's thought process. And as we, you know, grow in knowledge, we change and adjust that information. But sometimes it doesn't get into the mainstream. And so the article that I'm referencing was from Harvard. And I'll put that into the show notes too. My point is that whoever is sitting next to you, whether you're on a bus, a train, a plane, whether you're sitting next to them in the bleachers as your kids play games, they're more like you than you might think. Whether their complexion is different than yours, you know, whether they go to a different church, mosque, or synagogue, or, you know, hall, whatever they're going to, you know, they are still your family, right? And so if we could stop thinking about each other as those people and start thinking of each other as one united family, maybe we could stop the crime. Maybe we could reduce the crime. I guess I'm thinking really big grand here, but I just remember being that 70s child who, you know, was able to smile at the world, who was able to see my neighbors and, you know, wave at the ones who were Japanese and, you know, and smile at the ones who were Native American and go visit the ones who were Chinese across the street and eat sometimes with the one with the little girl in the back that was from India, you know. And we had love. And it was nice to be able to be that little girl and to think back to a time when people loved one another and were kinder. And so if you're hearing my voice, you know, I want to issue a challenge to you to just love harder and to try to make a difference in the world, you know. Show the world what love looks like. Let your life be a reflection of the love you believe is supposed to be in this world. And let's make a difference so that the next generation has something to look forward to. Because if we don't reach out a hand now, you know, things can get a lot worse before they get better. And so, you know, whether you're Black, White, Asian, Hispanic, Native American, East Indian, African, whatever you are a part of me, I am a part of you. And we need to reflect that in all that we do. But I am just going to wish you a beautiful day. I'm so thankful and honored to have the breath to speak to you today. And I want you to know that I am praying for you, and I hope that you are praying for me as well and my family. I'm going to wish you a beautiful morning, a wonderful afternoon, and a blessed, easy, restful evening of peace. Until we speak again, be well.